Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Wait, should we wait for Jacob? Oh no, he's not here this episode. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Bree. How are you two doing?
All right.
Pretty good. I've built a lot of Gunpla this week.
How many?
I'm working on my third one. They were all master grades. So yeah, a lot. They're like 12 to 15 hours each build. I got poured.
I thought you were going to say more about it. I'm like mid drink while you're like, oh, they're 12 to 15 hours. And you just stopped.
Well, I built the Sandrock standard version. I built the Ultron, which is the custom version. And I'm working on the Death Scythe Hell, which is the custom version. All of Gundam Wing suits because I want to finish off the series. And I lost a piece to my Ultron, but found out that because I bought some expansion parts. Thankfully, the piece that I lost is replaced by a different colored piece anyways. So thank fuck for that. It looks cool. And once I have stickers on all of these, pictures will go up. And this weekend, a whole bunch of pictures are going to go up from the bunch of shit that I made in the past, like, month and a half. So, yeah, is good. Huh?
So if you're on our Discord... And I have that to look forward to under Aki's bullshit.
Yeah, it's everything in Aki's bullshit is basically pictures of dragon shit that I own. When I buy new stuff, it just gets added. Pictures of plushies every time I get a new one. And pictures of my Gunpla after I've built them. And I take pictures of them in the order that I build them. So, yeah, I'm anal about that.
Nice. Jacob's anal about a lot of things, but not Gunpla.
Yeah, he's anal mostly about having his butt stuffed, but...
with controllers.
Only if they have the vibrate function.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've gone over that with Ryan, but... yeah, it's ladies' night on the show. It's just us gals.
And I have news for once. It's a fucking miracle.
Holy shit, you do.
I'm useful. Ever so slightly. Only slightly, but still useful.
Well, before we go into news, Bree, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. I got a piece of paper from the court, which means I am done with the estate, and nice. That's exciting for me. So yeah, I'm free. I'm done. Nice. No longer responsible.
You were not also coming through Aki's speakers that I heard.
Yes.
So
yeah, I was wondering if that was going to be a problem today. Hold on a second. Let me get my head set on.
It's a problem every day.
Well, you took so long to mention it, I was like, oh, maybe it's quiet enough today. And no.
Because let's be fair, you've done the bulk of the talking so far.
This is true.
Fair. Very fair.
Good stuff.
Jacob's not here to bother me, so I don't have to be quiet.
Jacob's also not here to derail us, so.
That is true. I don't know what to do now. Normally we're talking about like poop. Instead we have like a schedule and things to talk about.
And competency. Remember competency. It's useful.
Nope, still missing that.
We're a lot closer to it at least, okay? Leave me alone.
My week kinda sucked. Late last week, my mom had to put our dog Sadie down. Yeah. It's like my mom's been going through so much shit lately between her mom passing away last year, sister moving out of the house, and now her dog dying. She's just going through so much shit, and I feel so bad for her. Like, I haven't been going through a really hot streak myself right now, but I feel so bad for my mom, and I wish... Things need to turn around for her so bad. She needs to get laid. let's be honest. My mom. So if we have any listeners out there.
Wow.
Any hot older singles out there? It's just been...
mom has got it going on.
She's a nice lady. She deserves better. Her ex-husband was a piece of shit. Yeah, and then my dad wasn't much better, but you know, he made me, so he's got something good going on in his life.
Yeah.
He has something going. We'll just put it there.
I like to think I'm okay.
You can be.
I have new relatives now. That's a thing. I've been doing this whole ancestry thing, and I got contacted by someone who's like my half uncle. And basically, there's this whole drama about how my grandfather set up a franchise. And there's like a whole bunch of children out there that we haven't been able to identify. And some of them we have. And it's been like a crazy ride just like getting to know these people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I found out that one of them like tried to run over my grandfather with a car because she saw him with another woman, and like my grandmother like was so mad at everything that happened with him going to jail and stuff that she like cut his photos out of his face out of like all the photos and crossed his name out of everything. Like we almost didn't know who he was.
Damn.
Apparently my grandfather drove everybody crazy. So
wow.
It's neat finding out all this stuff.
Holy shit, that's insane. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered if I'll have like a long lost relative pop up in my life one day and be like, hey, remember me? I'm like, I don't know who the hell you are. Like, well, I was your dad's fourth cousin on the third side by marriage. And then they just shower me with money. That'd be amazing.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That's
how all those dreams wind up.
Yeah.
Then I wake up back to reality.
Yeah.
There was some good news this week, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Game Pass.
Yeah.
Cool.
Game Pass delivered this week with Octopath Traveler and Octopath Traveler 2, both hitting Game Pass. Been a long time coming, but 2 is finally on Xbox.
Yes. My note for that and under my news section is Ermengarde Octopath. That's exactly what I wrote.
Yeah, it's exciting. I've heard so much good about it. I've been waiting, hoping it would come to Xbox. They announced it last year for an early 24 release. We're mid 24, but fuck, we'll take it.
Yeah.
It's here. It's on Game Pass.
If you don't have Game Pass,
it's $60. You could get it in a bundle with the first game for $75, which is good savings.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, same deal on PlayStation because the first game finally launched on PS4 and PS5 as well.
Awesome.
So now Octopath is everywhere.
Yay!
Woot.
Next week on Game Pass, June 12th, the game Depersonalization is hitting PC. I have no clue what it is.
Nor do I.
I don't either, but I saw that today and I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, being PC only kind of turns me off. I like my consoles.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, the Steam thing for it does not help a lot because it is in Chinese. The trailer is. So. I have no idea what the fuck this is. So, woohoo! Has nice visuals. Turn-based combat, I think. I can't tell. I have no clue, really. It looks interesting, at least. Whatever the hell kind of game this is.
It is described as a tabletop role-playing game inspired by Call of Cthulhu with rich branching narratives. It consists of multiple story modes, each of which is multiple endings and branching routes, striving to build a diverse themed world.
It may have won me over with that.
There you go. It'll be on Game Pass on the 12th.
Nice. Been nice.
There you go. June 13th, two more games hitting Game Pass with Isonzo. However the fuck you say it. It's a World War I shooter. It go pew pew.
Yeah.
Old gun pew pew. If you want new game pew pew, Callisto Protocol also hitting on June 13th.
That I really liked that game. So many people thought that was so lackluster, but I loved that game.
I was gonna say I hope that it it gets some more people into it because I had a decent time with the game. What little I played of it before I got distracted.
I at least beat it. I think I 100%ed it before its DLC came out. I think.
Yeah. The DLC kind of turned me off to go back to it, but I'll get there eventually.
Why'd the DLC turn you off?
Because it was like, here's extra hard mode. That's all the achievements.
Yeah, and you can't go into New Game Plus or anything for it. And I think you have to go into New Game Plus for another achievement, too.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Just... New Game Plus mode is was a DLC. And then there was the Riot bundle, which seems like a wave-based thing. And then Final Transmission, I don't know what that is. I've apparently gotten some of the DLC achievements.
Proud of you.
I don't remember ever doing them, but because I don't have anything listed under the hardcore mode or contagion mode, and I don't remember doing any of that shit.
Anyway, cool. June 18th, one more game, Still Wakes the Deep, day one launch on so Game Pass.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping I get that for review.
Well, it'll be on Game Pass, so you could shut the fuck up and deal with it that way.
I want it for review. Bitch, get me it for review, motherfucker. God.
Oh, can't all be good news, though. There's got to be some games leaving Game Pass. There are 5 games leaving with The Bookwalker, Thief of Tales, Bramble, The Mountain King, High on Life, Rune Factory 4 Special, and Space Lines from the Far Out.
Damn. Base. That's some There's good games that are getting pulled out.
Yeah. I'm going to have to buy Bramble and High on Life because I probably won't get them done before they leave. Real life and all.
Good luck getting Bramble done, period, ever.
Fuck, yeah, it has so that hard. One achievement for like a no-death run or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Still but there's play a good life.
Deal right now for High on Life. You can get the bundle for cheaper than you can get the main game. It's like $19.99. You get the bundle, which is like a $30 savings right now. So I might do that with the rest of my points.
And the High on Knife DLC.
Yeah, that's what it comes with, yeah.
Have either of you played The Bookwalker?
Yes, I reviewed it. I
played a little, yeah.
Is it worth picking up?
I liked it, but when I played it, there was a problem with like Mission 3 that would just make the... It would literally just block you from being able to play any further into the game. And that's where... I ended at my review, and I don't know if it was ever fixed.
I enjoyed what I played of it, but it was another one that apparently didn't keep my interest, because once I moved on from the showcase, I just never went back to it, so...
Wondering if it's worth $12 while it's on sale.
It might be.
Love that 20% off with Game Pass.
Yep.
And I you never it. Know, you might hit an Omori situation, and when it leaves Game Pass... just gets delisted and goes away completely.
Yeah.
And I'm still mad about that one because I wanted to play Omori so bad.
I didn't know that was delisted. Holy shit. Yeah,
that's gone.
That sucks.
You have it?
No.
Anyway, let's see. What other news? Behavior Interactive is going to be laying off approximately 95 staff members, with 70 of them being from the Montreal office.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
So more layoffs. Always fun. More layoffs. Avalanche Studios, the team behind Just Cause, Generation Zero, Rage 2, and the in-development Contraband, have shut down their New York and Montreal studios and will lay off about 50 employees.
Yikes.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah. Let's keep the good news going with Little Nightmares 3 getting a delay to 2025.
Yeah. It's a different team working on it, though, so they've got some high expectations to live up to, probably. Like, I'd rather them delay it and get it right.
Yeah. Now we got one more bit of really good news with Wolcen, Lords of Mayhem, ending multiplayer support September 3rd and ending development and support for the game completely. So play multiplayer while you can and enjoy the game offline after that, I guess.
How long has that game been out?
Not long. Came out, I think, last year on Xbox. It was on PC for a few years before that, but
it's starting to feel like there's just no point to playing multiplayer games anymore because they don't last.
Yeah, well, this is more single player with a multiplayer element. It's not a heavy multiplayer game. Like, it's basically Diablo, but you could do co-op.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not like Diablo 4 with the co-op in an always online situation. It's just one-to-one multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, look at you getting that spam bot. Good job, Bree.
I already reported.
You were awesome. Dropping the banhammer. Love it. Kena, Bridge of Spirits is finally hitting Xbox on August 15th.
I want that too.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, it really does. I bought it on PlayStation and I never played it.
That sounds about right for you.
Because it was on PlayStation. I never played the damn thing.
Yeah.
It looks so good. It looks so cute.
I supported the devs. I'll probably do it again. I'll get it on Xbox. And
who knows when you'll get around to playing it.
Probably after Omori. Arrow 2 coming to Series X and S September, with Steam following shortly after and other platforms coming later on. It was going to debut on the Series X and S.
Nice.
Okay.
You don't remember Arrow? That's like that rhythm racer shooter style game.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Sure.
Some PlayStation news. The upcoming game Concord is slated to be priced at $40 with future heroes and maps being free. Still think it should be a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to do well, even at, quote, just $40. I mean, look at Foam Stars, look at Destruction All Stars. Neither of them did well, and they were free with PS Plus.
Yeah. Well, and I think, didn't they say in the trailer thing for that they were going to have, every week they were going to have a new animated sequence to, deepen the world or something? Like, I get that that's added value, but how long are they going to really have to keep that up? Through?
Yeah, and how many people are going to care?
Yeah.
That eye says the me.
Oh, man. Thimber saying $40 is a bit much when you have Overwatch 2 for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what is it? Marvel Rivals, is it?
Yep. Rivals is the new one, yep.
Which is probably going to put Overwatch 2 out of its misery. Because here's the thing. We're like, oh yeah, Overwatch is free. Yeah, but lots of people who liked Overwatch fucking hate Overwatch 2, so.
Mm-hmm.
They hate Overwatch as well.
Yes.
I feel real bad for the Overwatch devs for a very simple reason. The most popular thing about Overwatch is its Rule 34 content, and has been since Overwatch 1.
Oh, mercy.
I feel bad for them, because that's gotta suck.
Hey, whatever keeps the game afloat, right?
Yeah, yes.
Anyway, last bit of news I have is that PlayStation is releasing an adapter for the PSVR 2 to be used on PC and play pretty much anything on the Steam Store VR.
Nice.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I'd still probably buy a Quest first, but, you know.
Is the Quest cheaper or something?
Yeah.
Fair.
Quest 3's cheaper, lighter. A little bit better, supposedly. I don't know. That's my news. Aki, what news did you have?
All right. They have changed the name of Dragon Age Dreadwolf, which is the sequel to Inquisition. They've changed it to Veilguard. Or the Veil, one or the other. And the reason why is because they're focusing on a new set of heroes instead of keeping the ones from the prior game, which would have made sense since you're going after one of the characters in that group who betrayed everybody. But they're going with a brand new group, and they were like, we felt like Dreadwolf is focusing too much on the bad guy and not enough on our new heroes that we care about. So we're changing the name, and so they're changing the name. And the veil in that game is what separates the normal world from the Fade, which is like a dream/demon hellscape. And that's really all they have listed. They're going to be showing gameplay on a Tuesday.
Next week, I think, right?
Next week. I don't remember exactly what week. I just remember it was a Tuesday. But it's probably next week or the one after. And I think it's going to be like 12 or 15 minutes of gameplay, something like that. So, yeah, that's going to be kind of cool.
I'm looking forward to that. I know people are pretty down on BioWare, but I love the Dragon Age series, even Inquisition. I loved all three of the games. And I'm looking forward to the fourth one. I hope it's good.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. I was really hoping we'd be bringing the characters from Inquisition over just because it made sense, and I really like Sarah. She's just funnier and shit to me.
I'm sure we'll see some of the characters pop up.
Oh, I'm sure we will. A few of them have shown up in multiple games. Namely, I'm 100% sure we'll see the dwarf guy. I forgot his fucking name from Dragon Age 2, because he was part of Inquisition. I'm sure he'll be part of the next one, too. So, and Morgan, I'm sure, is going to show back up because we're dealing with the Fade. So, that's cool. I am looking forward to it. I'm hoping it goes more back to the older games, because I didn't like how tactical Inquisition they really wanted that game to be, and they were really trying to push that, and I didn't like any of that stuff. and not using any of the tactical stuff made the game a little hard. So, especially if you're playing on the hardest difficulty, like I was, because I'm me. But yeah, I'm still looking forward to it, though. I really like the Dragon Age games.
This game is hard. I can't believe it.
I know, right? Some bullshit. This hard game should be easy. Fuck. But yeah, I really like the Mass Effect and Dragon Age series, so I'm looking forward to this. I just want to know what cute girls I get to romance.
God.
Hey. I know what this game is for me, okay? Leave me alone.
What other news you got?
That was it. That was my news. I had the one piece and I'm good.
You're checking out for the rest of the year.
Yep, basically. Shit just fried my brain. You're welcome.
Bree, what kind of news do you have?
If you somehow have not already gotten a free copy, tell me why it's free on Xbox and Steam again for Pride Month.
Nice.
Very cool.
Very nice.
And then the only other news I really have is there's two showcases this weekend that I'm sure we'll get to talk about next week. The Devolver Direct is tomorrow, which is always an entertaining show.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've got the Xbox Showcase on Sunday.
What did you all want to do for the showcase? Like, did you want to... like chat about it Sunday and record Sunday our discussion on it, and we could use it on Tuesday's episode? Or do you want to like save everything for Thursday? I don't know what y'all want to do with this.
Yeah.
I don't care one way or the other, because I'll take notes.
Yeah, I will too. I mean, we can just talk about it Thursday.
It works with me. I'm good.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's good. I know you said that there's the talk that it's, what, like a 2-hour show with 30 games?
Yeah, something like that. Nice. That's what the rumor is.
I wonder if it's nice. 2 hours and then Call of Duty, or 2 hours with Call of Duty.
I hope it's 2 hours and then that piece of shit, because I don't care about that piece of shit. And quite frankly, I don't think there's anything the motherfuckers can say about that piece of shit that's going to excite anybody. It's a Call of Duty game. All the Call of Duty fans are already hyped. Everyone else still doesn't give a shit. Same thing that happens with every one of their games. Just don't show Call of Duty, please, for the love of God. Just say it's coming out. That's all you need to do.
They're going to show it. That's the point of the showcase.
Like, we don't need
they're heavily advertising that it's the Xbox showcase followed by the Call of Duty showcase. So you're getting a big-ass Call of Duty showcase, whether your ass afterwards. Likes it or not.
It'll be afterwards, then. It has to be 2 hours without it. Thank God. Because they said it's followed.
Could be 90 and 30. Yeah. 90-minute showcase followed by 30 of Call of Duty. That's what I'm expecting.
That sounds about right. I mean,
I feel like it's going to be 2 hours and then whatever they're doing with the Call of Duty, because they're saying the Xbox showcase followed by the Call of Duty showcase. So the Xbox showcase, if they're saying that's 2 hours, I'd have to assume it's 2 hours of that and then it's followed by the next thing.
There is an attention span kind of concept that you have to keep in mind, though, for shows like that. So
yeah.
It's likely that it's going to be 2 hours total with all of that stuff together at max, because I don't know that everyone's going to sit through the whole thing otherwise.
Well, I don't think a lot of people are going to sit.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people are going to sit through the whole thing anyways, because a bunch of people are going to stop when they start doing the Call of Duty, and all the Call of Duty people are probably going to start there. So I don't think that's going to be a major concern for them.
Here's a question. How many times do you think we'll see the PlayStation logo on Sunday?
Good question.
Because there's talk that the new Doom game is going to be multi-platform. Are they going to embrace that and show off the PlayStation logo during their event? Or will they just keep it Xbox only and be like, oh yeah, it's releasing on it?
I don't know, if we see the logo, maybe we turn it into a drinking game.
Fair.
Anytime we see PlayStation, take a drink.
I think it should be anytime we see PlayStation or anytime we see Xbox exclusive, we take a drink, either one. That way we can actually get a little shit-faced.
Because there's 30 games. We're going to get shit-faced either way if we do that.
I have a closet full of alcohol. Like, we can do this.
Yeah. I have three, like...
Every time they show a game clip, take a shot.
I'll take doubles.
Show another fucking trick. Aki, it's been 20 minutes. Fuck you, Joe.
No, I'll be fine. I remember one of our fucking streams a couple years ago, I think. Everyone was supposed to get high and drink that day, and I ended up drinking 22 shots during the double shots.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I had to be episode
and
20.
I was fine. Yeah, probably. I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, and I was fine.
Or an April 20th show.
I started getting a little
show.
More giggly, but
yes, the 420 show. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I can do this drinking game. I will be A-okay.
What did I do? I had like a bottle of mead or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you had honey mead or something.
Well, or I mean, that's
apple,
what mead is.
Something like that.
It was probably blueberry or cranberry or something. Cherry vanilla. It might have been the cherry vanilla.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I've never had mead. I want to have mead sometime.
Do it.
My new drink of choice has been Mountain Dew mixed with Midori.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound dumb. What's Midori?
Like a honeydew melon liqueur.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I used to drink Midori sours all the time.
Okay. My alcohol of choice is so just basic bitch. I drink Bailey's Irish Cream.
If you go to the liquor store, look for whatever is solid green.
Yeah,
that's Midori.
It is very green.
Huh, okay.
It doesn't look green enough. It's not Midori. It's got to be like the greenest thing you've ever seen in a store.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might glow.
It's
nice.
It's kind of almost like, what was that soda? Surge?
I love that shit.
It's a wrong color of green, and you're worried that your piss is going to turn that color. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. You've won me over. I will find the shit.
Yep. That and Mountain Dew. Mountain Dory. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mix it into something the fuck else. I don't like Mountain Dew at all.
Well, if you can handle a sour mix, like with the Midori is really good.
Okay.
I like a Midori sour. Good stuff. Over ice. Noms.
Okay. I will try that. Because I've never had that either. So, yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of PlayStation logos, there's talk that Xbox might be remaking Halo again, this time for Series X and S and PS5. That's the latest rumor to pop up tonight. Do you think there's any validity to that rumor, or do you think it's just Doom saying once more?
I would not be shocked if they were remaking it for the Series S and X, because why not repackage the same game and sell it for the third fucking time? I don't know if they'd be putting it on PlayStation, though. That's pretty iffy. But yeah, remaking it for current console, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah.
I'd rather them remake Halo 3. They didn't remake that one. They remade 1 and 2. You never got a Halo 3 anniversary.
Master Chief Collection? That was in the Master Chief Collection.
Halo 2 anniversary was, yeah. And then Halo Anniversary was a separate release on the 360.
Yeah, but they were all in the Master Chief Collection, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that got remade.
Well, 3 didn't get, like, a remake. It was just ported over.
Oh.
Yeah, 3 and 4 were just straight ports.
Okay. They're probably just going to take the Master Chief Collection, and they're probably just porting it to the Series S and X. Realistically, if they're redoing it, that's probably all they're doing. And they might be adding, like, 5 into it, and Infinite.
I don't know. Seems very rumory to me.
Yeah, especially just a few days before the event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out. The event is just 3 days away. It is going to be a good time. I am looking forward to it. I will probably live stream it on our Twitch channel. I'll sit and watch and live stream, and then maybe we'll get together and chat afterwards. Who knows? We'll figure it out.
All I know is if they port it to the Series S and X, I'm not getting it again. I've played enough.
You're going to get it.
Like, No, I got all 7,000 gamer score in the original Master Chief Collection. I'm done. I haven't even finished Infinite yet, because I'm just so done with fucking Halo at this point. It's just too much. I don't want to redo it.
You'll get it.
I won't. No.
You might not complete it, but you'll get it.
Maybe. I have issues, folks. I probably won't touch any of the multiplayer. I might get it, and I'll probably 100% all of the campaigns, and then just be like the multiplayer, the like 2,000 gamer score that's just that. Probably be like, no.
I do miss the days when I would play Halo multiplayer with friends. We'd have like 4 of us together in a party and jump into big team battle and just have fun. I miss those days.
If all the multiplayer achievements could just be obtained in, like, friendly games, I'd be so for it. The fact that so many of them have to be done in ranked games, I'm fucking miserable, because I don't want to play against those people. Like, it's okay, like, the first week, and after that, you get all the people who are really good at Halo, and you can't win anymore. And it's like, I didn't play the multiplayer when the game Infinite first came out. And at this point, I know if I go in there, I'm going to be like 0 kills and I'm going to die like 20 something times. And it's just going to be miserable. And I'm just, ugh, no.
That's
I'd
me.
Rather not. Yeah.
I mean, Halo multiplayer, I mean, not because of the competitiveness, but just like the ability to play with my friends online is part of the reason I ended up finally getting into Xbox in the first place. Nice. That and there was one other game, but now I moved from Florida to North Carolina and I missed all my friends. We used to play a lot of Halo. We used to have like the LAN set up, hooked up in the apartment and stuff on the original Xbox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had played the online stuff, but yeah, I finally got a 360 just so I could like stay connected with my friends, and turned into a Destiny Fire Team later, and you know, just years of all of that stuff, like it came from Halo. So,
nice.
Yeah,
very cool.
See, what got me into the Xbox was Splinter Cell Conviction. Yes. I love the Splinter Cell games, and it went to Xbox, and I was like, okay, then the 360 it fucking is. And I got the special edition, the Black Elite, which I still have right next to my TV. It is still plugged in and everything. That came with the Splinter Cell Conviction Collection bundle, whatever. And my mom got me that for Christmas that year, and I was like, yes. And then I played that game for like 40 or so hours because it was all I had for like 3 or 4 months.
The other game that really got me was Lost Odyssey, which, big JRPG fan. That's actually the first thing I did on this gamer tag. So, yeah.
What do you think of the rumors of a remake or a sequel at E3 this year? I keep calling it E3. Summer Showcase.
I don't know about any of those rumors, but that would be cool.
Yeah, there's been rumors of a new one for so long, and it's just never happened. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I would love a remake, though. That would be,
Yeah. I would totally play that. I did that for my, I heard about Blue Dragon 2, Thimber's saying in chat. I heard something rumored about Blue Dragon, but I would love Lost Odyssey. That's one of my favorite RPGs. Like, I've played it a lot.
Nice.
No, more JRPGs on Xbox would be good, as we see with Octopath this week.
Yay!
Anyway, Jacob, what kind of news do you have? Oh, wait, Jacob's not here. Ha ha! Such an asshole.
It works, though. So it's fine.
Should we dive into the reviews?
Sure.
All right, let's get these going. The first game to talk about tonight is Humanity, developed by THA Limited. And Enhance, published by Enhance, released May 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $29.99. A unique blend of puzzle solving and action platforming, Humanity puts the fate of all mankind in your hands. Pause. Did we mention you're a dog? Bree, what's Humanity?
So yeah, it's a story about a dog who is chosen to guide the people to the light. You get to bark orders like turning, and by doing so, we lead humanity to their salvation or to use them for trials. We can teach our humans to jump, high jump, long jump. We can float and swim and use weapons later on down the road. You unlock the skills as you progress through the game to be able to tell your humans what to do. But you also have to be mindful to have your humans fall from a safe height or they will just sort of splat. And you have, like, an endless supply of humans most of the levels. Each level has obstacles and features that make this kind of a platformer, as well as a puzzle game. You guide your people with commands, but you also need to move blocks, climb walls, navigate moving platforms, fans, all sorts of things. There's falling balls and pressure plates that unlock force fields or add platforms to jump to. It's simple and really complicated. Sometimes you'll only have the command for humans to follow you, and you have to guide them through a minefield of sorts of obstacles. Other times, you'll need to make all of your orders before you start the level. So, like, you can see the whole level, you can see what you need to do, and there's a button in the middle that kind of hits the start button and allows your people to come through the gate. There's, like, gates and goals. So your humans come through the gate, and you want to get them to the goal. And you might need to, like, observe the level and make all of your commands, like, run around barking left, right, pause, jump, left, right, around the board. And then you can hit the start button and hope that you got all of your commands right. So that's, like, a little twist on the level. But yeah, sometimes it's really simple. Sometimes it's a real head-scratcher. Most of the time, you don't need to worry about your humans dying while you figure out the level, which is nice. But you'll also need to collect goldies. They're these gold sparkly people that are a bonus goal, or sometimes they're required for the level to end properly. You might need to get the goldies. You also need to unlock goldies to get to future areas and skills. So unlike the endless supply of humans that can just die endlessly and we don't need to worry about them, the goldies can fall off the edge and ruin your chances of getting the level done properly. So you got to be careful with those and plan accordingly and that sort of thing. You do eventually get the ability to pause so you can think a little bit with your level, which is nice. And there are 90 levels broken up into 7 sequences that build on your skills as you go. And every couple of sequences, there's a kind of boss battle where you have to perform multiple actions to defeat the cores. And in the loose story of the game, the cores are kind of an important factor. There is a stage creator where you can build levels of your own. You can also play user-made stages, which was way more fun than making them to me. And I'm going to be honest, I fell down the rabbit hole of user content and forgot about the main game for a while. It's really creative and just some cool stuff out there. And they have like a curated list of like award winners, top picks of the week or the weekend, you know, brand new levels. I can't see my screen because my cat is pacing back and forth in front of it.
It's someone redeem cat time.
No, she just sees me on the mic and she's like looking for treats.
No.
I
redeemed cat time.
There you go. Here you go. I'm going to give you one treat, T. Are you ready for this? Free of charge. Free of charge. You don't even need to jump. No. Okay, never mind. She wants to move to the spot. All right. So, there's one user level called Sharknado that's just entirely a platforming level, and they built a bunch of sharks out of blocks floating in the sky, and you need to get to the top, and it was super cool. But yeah, the game is a simple premise with complex additions that make it rich and challenging. Like, the game offers hints in the form of videos to help you understand the principle of the level if you really get stuck. It doesn't tell you all the secrets, and in a lot of cases, you're going to find a lot of flexibility in your solutions, which is also great, but you don't have to follow one distinctive path to get through all of the levels. You've got some variety and wiggle room and, well, like, just an endless supply of humans to play with, so... Yeah, I had a great time with this one.
Something cool to mention is that it does support console keyboard and mouse, which is nifty.
Nice.
I believe the Windows version supports VR as well.
That would be cool. That would be very great, very cool.
You have the PC version, the Windows Store version. The game clocks in at $30. What are your thoughts on that for humanity?
I think if you like puzzles like this, not that they're, I mean, I would say it is somewhat unique. Unique.
Unique.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you for the whisper there. but it is, I mean, there's some elements of like lemmings to it, but there's a lot more to it than that. And I think that there's a lot going on with the user content. It's a pretty, you know, challenging, fun thing, and I think that this is like a lot of mechanics that went into making this happen. Like, I think it's definitely worth it. And if you just want to give it a try, I believe it's also on Game Pass.
Yes, it is. Not only on Game Pass, but on cloud gaming as well. So you don't even have to install it; you just fire it up and
yeah, give it a try.
All right, sounds good. Next game, Astor, Blade of the Monolith, developed by C2 Game Studios, published by Versus Evil, RIP, and Tiny Build. Released May 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Rip through hordes of enemies with fury and style in this fast-paced action RPG. Plays Astor, a young warrior determined to unveil the secrets behind his creator's unforeseen demise. Wield an arsenal of runic weapons to hunt down the evil haunting the planet Gliese or Glee? I don't know, whatever. Save it from impending doom. Save the planet. Aki, did you save the planet?
Yes. Yes, it did.
And then what?
Yes. And then the game ended.
Cool. How was it?
Yeah. It wasn't too bad. There are some broken achievements, so they are fixing them, but they're not fixed yet. Basically, in this, you are playing as some creatures that aren't human or even animal. They are more or less puppets. They make their bodies out of wood and the like, and they require masks in order to bring a soul into the body. And yeah, you get to play as one of these named Astor, and you are researching the makers, which are humans, who have died off long, long ago, like a lot of your species used to do, and before they gave up. And you somehow get this mysterious power of being able to wield a fucking sword. Because apparently people can't pick up weapons for some reason. I don't know. And yeah, you get to go set off an adventure You get some interesting little powers, one of which you get to go into the spirit realm. It has both some benefits and drawbacks. When you do it, you're able to get rid of parts of the environment or create new parts to the environment on rare occasions to allow you to travel through areas. You also do more damage when you're in this mode, but your health is halved while you're in it. You are fighting against the Helsks or something like that, which are just darker versions of your own species, it looks like, that are very violent and wield all sorts of weapons, because apparently they're smarter. Because you got this power, you are seen as the Chosen One, and you are meant to be able to talk to the Makers and bring them back. So your whole thing is going about collecting more powers and more weapons in order to unlock the door that you need to unlock to speak to the Makers and so on and so forth. And all the while you're trying to stop the evil creatures from getting in your way or stealing all your shit and all that fun stuff.
We got to point out one thing with this game. This game is so much bigger than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I figured I'd have this game done in a day or two. I figured the weekend would be enough to do this. I played all day, every day, and I think I finally finished it Wednesday morning, I think it was. Big fucking game. So big. There's, like, I don't know, 13, 15 levels, something like that, I think. Some of them are revisiting prior levels and just getting access to new places in it. There's a lot of upgrades in this game. A whole bunch of upgrades. You get them by finding rune shards, which is one of a handful of collectibles. They allow you to partially upgrade things. You also have to either break these red crystals that give you red soul money thing. I don't know. Or beat enemies who also drop them usually, and you get to use that to as the second part of the payment for upgrades. You get an upgrade to your each one of your weapons gets different upgrades. Like some of them extend like your light combos, your heavy combos. They give you rune finishers, which are your special magic-y powers. So on and so forth, as well as you eventually, well, pretty quickly unlock the ability to shoot things with a repulsor from your hand, and that also gets its own upgrades, which are, again, rune finishers and the like. Throughout the game, you unlock different weapons, different abilities, like eventually you get
weapons in the game?
Yeah, I think so. There's the sword, which is the very first thing you unlock. Technically five if you want to add the repulsor to the list, which is your only ranged option. Then you get basically gauntlets and a spear. Basically, like within like 5-10 minutes of each other. After hours and hours of only using the sword, and then it takes hours and hours before you get the last weapon, which is a hammer. It's like, yeah, you finally upgraded
hours
this stuff,
and
here's two of
them. I just checked. Oh, yeah. You put 31 hours into this game.
Yeah, and that's how long it took to beat it.
That is a hefty time investment for what on the surface looks like just a kind of basic action RPG, indie action RPG.
I expected this to be like 8-10 hours long.
I know. It's so much bigger. The areas are so much bigger. I mean, granted, there's a lot of walking, and the spider mount helps a little, but fast travel, does that pop up later in the game?
Not really. You get fast travel so much as you can travel from like the crystal grotto, which is where a bunch of your species is, to whatever the level is. That's the only fast travel you get. You can replay prior levels if you missed any of the upgrades.
That's good.
Because there's a whole bunch of different collectibles. There's the rune shards, as I listed already. There's more of those than you need for upgrades by a pretty hefty amount. I think after I had all the upgrades, I think I still had like around 100 or so more.
Lord.
Yeah, there's like 220-ish, I think, in the game. Maybe, no, 240, I think. But then there's also upgrades to your character's stats that you can also find, which are in chests that you unlock. That can be an upgrade to your stamina, which you use when you're jumping and running around, or when you're doing certain attacks. Your repulsor uses that a bunch, so if you're like, I want to do ranged, you're fucked, don't do that. And then there's also upgrades to your health and your rune magic gauge, which you increase by hitting enemies, and sometimes you find blue orbs that enemies drop get sucked to you, and that fills it up as well. And then there's also challenges you can do after a little bit into the game that you can finish that also give you rune shards and stuff as well that you also need to finish for a separate achievement. It's a lot of stuff.
The shocking thing is the price isn't that much when you think about it. It's a $25 price tag. We've seen smaller games for more expensive. As it stands at $25, what do you think of this one?
I'm very for it. I thought it was a cute game. It was much longer than I thought. For people who are achievement hunters, be warned, there are currently two broken achievements. Yeah, one of them seems to pop for some people and seems not to, and the other one just seems straight up broke. One of them is for getting all the upgrades. It pops for some people, and for other people, it doesn't pop. It didn't pop for me, which really sucked. Which might be because I got, like, there's an achievement for getting each individual weapon upgraded, and one for getting all your weapons upgraded, and the last upgrade that I needed were for my hammer, so I got both of those achievements together, and I think that may have screwed up the getting all the upgrades. But it shouldn't have. And then the completely broken one is, as some of you may have guessed, just because it's completely broken, getting every achievement in the game. Because those always start fucking broken as shit. But it is well known.
Those achievements.
Yep, it is known by the devs. They are fixing it. It is broken on the PlayStation, it's broken on Steam, and it's broken on Xbox. So...
GG.
Yeah. Yeah. So they are working on fixing it. So hopefully with the next update, I think they said it'd be fixed, because I think they said they already had parts of it fixed, and I think it's fixed on Steam already, but consoles take longer to get permissions through and actually get the patch through. Yeah. So it should be the next update for those should fix it, but be warned, they are currently broken. They will be fixed, and it is an awesome game. Go play it.
Cool. Next game, Skeller Boy, developed by Manic Boy Studio, published by Rattalaika Games, released May 31st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $7.99. Experience a nostalgic aesthetic right out of the 70s and 80s, cultural classics with adventure gameplay and a dark, disturbing narrative. Bree, tell us about these dark days of the 70s and the 80s.
Well, for a game inspired by the films of the 70s and 80s, I don't know that I got too much of that, but the game definitely had a vibe to it. The intro is in Spanish with English subtitles. It's got very dramatic music and a cinematic approach to how the game is presented. Retro pixel style art mixed with some overlays of grass and cobwebs with a more modern aesthetic. For all the cinematic segues, though, a lot of the other scenes in between were too quiet to me. Skeller is looking for his girlfriend Megan, who has disappeared, and there's blood everywhere. We find a videotape with our name on it from Megan, and she sounds like crazy despondent. Our next door neighbor, Sven, is only too eager to help us and gives us a walkie-talkie, and then we proceed through the town looking all over for clues, ultimately leading us to a mysterious mansion. There are some puzzle mechanics like lockpicking, there's a hide mechanic, you can save at computers, and there's three save files. The walkie-talkies are tools to talk with others. You get incoming calls from Sven, and you can call out for info once you have numbers to call. The writing translation is kind of poor. I often felt that I had little direction to go on. The game froze on me after a particularly annoying maze section. There are a lot of save points, which is good because you're going to die during some simple and yet oddly challenging running or dodging mines sections. If my review seems a little disjointed, it's because the story and especially the ending was a little disjointed. It has some autoplay dialogue in places, which I find to be an accessibility issue. There's a broken complete the game achievement on Xbox.
Oh no.
Yeah. I believe it works fine on PlayStation, but it is broken on Xbox. I know some people have reported that. I don't know if they're going to do anything about that, but it's Radaleika, so hopefully they will. But yeah, the story was okay. What was the price on this one, though?
It's $7.99.
I would say in its current state and with the disjointed story, like it was okay, but I might wait for a sale.
That's fair. You mentioned the writing was off. Were like any of the references to films or homages anything?
I didn't really notice anything like really like stand out. Yeah, normally I pick up on a lot of that stuff, and I just didn't really catch anything. But like it had a good like, you know, horror vibe to it and that sort of thing. It just it had a good creepy thing, but I didn't really like notice any distinctive like, oh yes, this was very inspired by this movie or something. Yeah. You know, there was nothing there like really stood out, which is a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, like, you don't want to just like make a bunch of pop culture references and like, unless that's your whole shtick, you know, like they weren't trying to do that, which is good. They were trying to do their own thing, but like there wasn't any standout like, oh yes, this was very Suspiria or something. So
all right, well, next game, Lords of the Fallen Steam release, developed by Hexworks, published by CI Games. It released last October on Steam for $59.99, $69.99 on Series X and S and PS5. Vast world awaits in an all-new medieval dark fantasy action RPG, Lords of the Fallen, as one of the fabled Dark Crusaders embark on an epic quest to overthrow Aedir, the demon god. Version 1.5, which is out now, adds significant performance improvements and custom difficulty modifiers. Aki, you checked this out on console a little bit ago. How does the Steam version compare?
How do I say this nicely? It needs a lot more fucking updates. It is.
Oh boy.
I was like, I thought, you know, I was going to go into this and it was going to run smooth as fucking butter and it was going to be so much better than the console because it's the PC. One expects that. No. Everything felt like it was lagging way behind when I was pushing buttons, which made combat kind of hard. For some reason, at the beginning of the game, some of your abilities don't function. Like, I don't know, the jump button, and there's a tutorial to jump during the beginning, and I didn't get access to the ability to jump until I finished through the tutorial area, which made that area a little complicated. I did manage to get through it by using the roll action instead, which barely got me where I needed to go. I couldn't run until the very end of the tutorial. Yeah, it did not go very well. And the first boss kicked the shit out of me pretty quickly because, again, every button push seemed to lag. I don't know if that's just something wrong with my system. I have trouble imagining it is, since this is a new computer and it's really fucking good.
You have a new rig, so it should perform well. A lot of the complaints I'm seeing aren't really performance related anymore. You weren't in like any kind of beta branch, were you, inadvertently?
No. I just downloaded the game and went with it. But yeah, I have a friend who also plays this game, and they're playing it specifically to help me beat bosses on the console. And they play a lot of these games, so I also got their opinion on it. I've been getting their opinion since I played it on the console, even mostly because they give me their opinion without me needing to ask. They play a lot of these games. They really like Soulsborne games. They've played all Dark Souls. They've played Bloodborne, I'm pretty sure. They've played a lot of the other Soulsborne games that have come out. They do not like this game. They don't like the gimmick of the lantern, which is, again, confusing until you get it. And even then, you don't really use it unless you absolutely have to, because the mechanic is kind of meh. And they feel the same way. They also don't like any of the bosses, which I have a lot of trouble with. Usually they can just walk through bosses like they're nothing. And the one of the major problems is apparently you don't get very many invincibility frames when you're dodging, which is rare for these kinds of games. Usually you get a bunch of them unless it's a blocking focused one. In which case, then you usually don't get any, and because they want you to fucking block. And all the bosses move abnormally quickly. And they had a problem where they felt like their button presses were also lagging behind a little, which was screwing up the flow of battle. So that's annoying. And again, I have the same issue with the bosses on PC as I do on Xbox. They're stupidly quick and you move super slow, and obviously because there's a Soulborne boss, they pack a fucking punch, so you can't really get away from them. And with the lagging, all your dodges just feel like you're not dodging quite right, either because it hits you because you just started your dodge and you haven't gotten into your invincibility frames, or they are hitting you at the end and it just doesn't feel like the button pushes are getting you where what you need to do at the time you need to do it, which is a shame. There is a new mode to the game that I don't remember the Xbox having, but it might have, which is a boss rush mode, basically, that you can unlock. You get to replay bosses that you've beaten, and once you get them all unlocked, you can do a full boss rush mode that's just boss after boss. I don't remember that being on the Xbox version. It could have been, and I just didn't see it. But that is something they touted on the Steam version as part of the update. Right after the update that allowed you to start with modifications to the game, like how you can prevent any of the vestiges from decaying, or you can increase the density of monsters back to the pre-nerfing that the game got, or randomizing enemies and items, so on and so forth. It seems to be an update after that, and they gave the boss rush mode and the ability to refight bosses again. I don't know if you get anything extra from doing the bosses over again. I hope so. You can do it either solo or you can do it co-op, like just like the standard game, so that's nice. And yeah, I think the game's decent, but I would suggest getting one of the console versions instead of the PC version, because
that's the question I was going to ask you. I know you liked it on console. I'm guessing console over PC on this one, at least for now.
Yeah. I don't know if I just have settings messed up on mine or what, but even with my really good PC, I couldn't even run this with all maxed stuff, which is insane, because I got a damn good computer. Got a nearly $2,000 fucking computer.
Jeez.
Brand new as of December. And I still can't run this with max settings, which is insane. So I don't know if there's just something messed up in my settings that are just making the game not run quite right or what. But I have to go with console over PC for now. I'm going to fiddle with it some more, see if I can get it to run better. But I don't know enough about this stuff to do that, really. Yeah. So I don't think I'm gonna get anywhere, sadly.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I suggest this on console, guys. It's a decent game. Bosses are hard as shit, but you know, you Soulsborne people, you like that. So I suggest it on console, 100%. Great. PC, not so much.
All right, well, we got one last game for this group. It is Project 13, developed by Dry Bread, published by Dolores Entertainment, released May 31st on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $5.99. As one of many kidnapped and enslaved probants of the Project 13 group, you need to find anomalies through your walk. If you don't obey and report, you'll be stuck in it forever. Bree, what does that mean?
So, Project 13 is based around the concept of a research group on human perception and psychological effects. You just walk through a hallway over and over. You're learning the hallway so you can spot the differences. It's a spot the differences game. There really isn't a tutorial. There's four simple rules. Don't miss the anomalies. Report the anomalies. Don't report if there aren't any. And after the 13th correct walk, you're free to go. So that's how you beat the game. Is you get 13 correct in a row, which that could be a combination of 13 anomalies or correctly reporting that there weren't any on one of your runs in a row. Some of the anomalies are really obvious. Doors open, there are unusual things behind them, the letters in the wall might change. Sometimes the entire lighting will change in the hallway and you'll see aliens or something. I don't know. But there were a lot of times I couldn't tell anything, even really small stuff. And I guessed whether there were anomalies or not. And usually I was right, but sometimes I was not. Some anomalies might be as small as an eye color change on one of the characters walking in the hallway.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
But, yeah. I think the highest run I got was 10.
I have a question on this.
Yes.
So, because you have to remember if there's an anomaly, so are you basing this off of the very first walk, and you just have to remember everything about that first walk through each of these, or is it first walk, second walk, is there a difference, and then second to third walk, is there a difference, or is it still first to, and whatever?
The very first time you load it up, I think it's a no anomaly run. But after that, it's game on. There could be an anomaly your first time or not.
Yeah, but I mean, where is it comparing to, because obviously you have to walk through the hallway once to know what the hallway looks like in the first place.
Right.
In order to report anomalies for later levels. But is it all based on that very first walkthrough? Do you get to
Pretty
do
much.
That walkthrough again? Or no, do you just have to remember everything?
After that, you have to kind of remember everything. The good news is that there's only 35 possible anomalies.
Oh, well, that...
So
that's
you're going to get some repeats. You're going to get some repeats, and yeah, but you've got to find 35 things at some point. I will say I was kind of frustrated. I actually got to 10 finally on a run, and I'm like, all right, cool. This might be my run, and then it did something where it said I had had too many attempts, and it reset my counter anyway.
Ooh.
Oh.
And if you want an added challenge, there's a hardcore mode. So normally when you walk through, you can take your time, look at everything, really look at it. In hardcore mode, there's a laser grid that walks behind you, and you have you have to practically run through the entire thing. And if you spot something, great. And if you don't, that's it. So you either die or you get to the end and you make a decision. You've got to catch it. That's the hardcore mode.
Do you have a time limit of how long it takes to input what the mistake is? When you get to the end, do you have a time limit there? Or because
nope,
I'm just thinking
no,
you can just film it.
Mode. Yeah, only in hardcore mode is there a timer. In the regular mode, you can just walk through the hallway and take your time to look at everything and make sure. Again, I would say about half of the anomalies are really obvious. If you're paying attention at all, you can kind of breeze through the hallway. But then there were some, I went through the other day and I did a run and I noticed something new I hadn't noticed before, which was a leg instead of the fire extinguisher. And I hadn't seen that one before. So now I know to look for that.
That's funny. The eye color one, that's some bullshit.
It was a bright red eye. There's this one guy that walks down the hallway. And he walks at about the same pace every time. So, I don't think that was a factor. But yeah, one time I noticed he had a red eye instead of a normal colored eye.
Mm.
So, okay. Yeah.
That's just mean.
Yeah, I've seen some other spot the changes or under spot the anomalies games before, and I thought this would be like that. I found this one to not be maybe as much fun as I wanted it to be. It was a single hallway to observe, so the novelty wears off quick, unlike other games where you have like multiple rooms to observe. It has a good creepy vibe to it. Your character is wearing a gas mask or something similar, so they put like a visual filter that makes everything a little disorienting.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, that part I didn't like either. But and there's something a little in the audio as well that kind of gives you that like you're breathing inside the mask kind of vibe to it as well. So yeah. But all in all, I had an okay time with it. There was a little struggle where there was a delay in the achievements, but I finally went live, so that was good.
Good to hear. It clocks in at $6. Not a huge amount of money. What are your thoughts?
I mean, for that price, sure, why not? Like, it's okay if you're interested in like this style of game. It's not a bad one. I don't know that we really have any on console yet that I'm aware of that is the style of game. Like, I've seen a lot of these style of game on Steam, so I'm happy to see that style, something that you know, we have access to. So that's good.
Great, sounds good. That is it for you two. We are going to take a tiny little break, and I'll be back with Jacob. Isn't that exciting?
I mean,
I'm so sorry.
But we had a great ladies' night.
We did.
Yeah.
Anyone have any final words?
Fuck Jacob.
Well, I was going to say something a little more profound.
Okay, you say something then.
All right, don't sweat the petty things and don't pet the sweaty things. There you go. Those are my final words.
I don't know if you saw, but Angry Birds 3 got announced.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I guess with Sega, like, they were going to finance the third movie. My kids lost their shit at that announcement. So, on the plus side, there is still apparently a target market for these movies. So,
yeah.
That's good. But, of course, then again, my kids also lost their shit at the Garfield trailer, so
yeah.
Oh my god, and they've been watching the Garfield show, not Garfield and Friends like you and I grew up with, but they've been watching the Garfield show, which is some shitty CGI like French CGI show that apparently aired on Cartoon Network like early 2010s, and I swear to god it's so fucking dumb and low quality. And like I just get internally mad so much every single time I see my kids watching it.
Like, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, it's just like, you guys have access to so much better stuff. Why the fuck do you guys think that this show's great? Why the hell do you love Space Jam: A New Legacy so fucking much? Like, and the thing is, it's not even like I'm like, oh, the original Space Jam's a classic. The original Space Jam is a shit movie too. I even knew that when I was in fourth grade. And I just, oh my god. I'm like, guys, I bought so many fucking movies in preparation of having kids, and you don't watch any of them. Like, you watch the fucking Garfield show. The show is awful. It is so abysmal.
I am recording this. Don't mute.
Oh my god. Like, yeah, like, my well, it's now called Fandango at Home, but Vudu account, like, it's sitting at like 4,000 fucking movies. Like, I'm pretty sure, like,
it has a new name now.
Oh, well, see, here's the fun part. Okay, so Vudu used to be its own entity, then Walmart bought it. Okay, and then Walmart was just fine at calling it Vudu, and then Walmart decided they wanted to get out of the digital movie business because everyone else, like all the other retailers, got out of it too. And so they got bought up by Fandango, and Fandango was already running Fandango Now, and they were just like, oh, well, Vudu's much superior product. We're just going to cancel out Fandango Now. We're just going to run it as Vudu. And now some chode came in and was like, oh, well, we need to have it under the same banner so people aren't confused. And so now it's called Fandango at Home because Blockbuster at Home worked so fucking well a decade ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, and like, they're just redoing all this shit. And meanwhile, I'm still fighting with their customer support, who I'm pretty sure is no longer the original customer support group that I was arguing with, about a movie that I bought from Fandango Now, which still has yet to port, even though it's listed as being a movie on Vudu or Fandango at Home. And they're like, well, if you don't have the original receipt, we can't help you. And I'm like, then who the fuck has my data? Like, because I know you're sitting on it. Like, anyway, the only other thing I have to talk about is that last week I discovered I am a goddamn home run hitting machine. If I'm sufficiently, like in MLB The Show, if I'm sufficiently baked and I'm blasting NWA's Straight Outta Compton, like the album, not just the song, but it's just like, I like every single time I was up at bat, like everything was either a home run or a double. And most of the time it was a home run. And I'm just like, all right, let me just make sure that it's not because I'm like, you know, cheesing the difficulty on this. And so like, I went online and did a bunch of home run derbies and I won them all. And I'm just like, all right. So this is like,
you
this
found
is
your to- calling in life, I guess.
Well, no, I was like, this is as close as I'm actually going to get to steroids in baseball. I'm wondering if this is what it was like for Mark McGwire. Like, you know, just hitting a home run straight out of Compton.
That's awful.
But anyway.
Oh, geez.
Let's get on to some fucking reviews.
All right. Dehydrated. Sounds good.
I have a headache.
You got three games to talk about on Ladies Night. The first game is Bit Trip Rerunner.
Ladies Night, and the feeling's right. Oh,
yeah,
what
you know.
A night. Oh, what a night. This is Ladies Night. All right. Anyway, what am I reviewing?
Nope. Gonna just let you keep going.
I don't know the rest of the lyrics of the song.
Okay, that's fair.
I just know the refrain.
Fair. First game to talk about is Bit Trip Rerunner, developed and published by Choice Provisions, released May 29th on Xbox Series X and S for $19.99. Why remake this beloved classic? Because over the years, fans have been asking for a level maker for Bit Trip Runner, and as our flagship title in the Bit Trip series, we thought it was about time we gave the world what they want. But this is no mere remaster. Jacob, what is it?
So, I mean, this is not a remaster. It is a tribute. No?
Okay.
Nothing on the Tenacious D
thing? I just, okay. I don't know how that fits.
That's what she said. Anyway. All right. So.
We're 12.
So with Bit Trip Rerunner, it is a remastered version of the original Bit Trip game. Which is this speed platformer, and you're pretty much just trying to get from point A to point B while dodging obstacles. And you're not, like, it's really just you dodging stuff. I mean, like, there's little UFOs that pop out, there's rocks that you have to dodge, and you have to collect these, like, little gold things, which then, in this game at least, if you collect enough, then you're able to unlock a key, which then, if you have a key, you can unlock some other sort of a bonus feature. Much like the Digital Eclipse remake or remakes or remasters that we get sometimes. This one also has a bevy of, like material from not only just the first game, but also the previous games too. Which was pretty cool because you get to look at character models. You get to look at, or listen to music, level designs. And there's even like letters from the devs to the fans, just so, if you've never played this, they'll get you up to speed as to like what the whole, series is about. Cause apparently there's actually a plot to it, which I was not aware of. This is actually the first time I've ever, played one of those. I think I might own it on Steam, but everyone has a Steam backlog of like 2000 plus games.
Oh yeah.
And so the game very nicely takes you by the hand and tries to explain, this is what you do. And every so few levels, they'll add in a new move that you have to do and explain, like, this is how you do it. And you have a chance to try it out, and usually you'll fail. But then the game is really generous with its save points. Thank God, because I am not particularly great at precision platformers like this. And I have died constantly, especially trying to dodge these stupid little UFOs, because you're supposed to slide underneath them, and so frequently the game will like throw this thing where it's like, well, you're jumping off a ledge, but here comes some UFOs, but you also have to collect this gold. Which one will you do? And my response is usually, I'm just going to die.
That's fair.
But the thing is that for as much as I'm dying and as much as I get like frustrated with this game, every single time I'm just like, all right, one more try. Like I could probably do this one more. All right, another try. All right, you know what? Maybe I just need to play some Dreamlight Valley and then come back to this in 30 minutes. But yeah.
Like, of course, that's your solution, Disney Dreamlight.
So the game itself is really beautiful, and it's great to play. It's easy to pick up. I know this is like very stereotypical and like generic, but it's so easy to pick up but difficult to put down. Like, this one really is. I've been having a lot of fun with it. And then there's also, they threw in a level editor on this, which lets you, it's very similar to what people were inventing with like Mario Maker, like just inventing these like super difficult levels. And you could go and see whether or not you can, what's the hardest level you can make? Or do you just want to cheese it and just, throw everyone a bone? This is a really solid release. I was really pleased with it. I don't know that I would have picked this up, if it hadn't been up for a review. Like, I probably would have waited for a sale personally. But now that I've actually had a chance to really sit down and finally play, BitTrip, runner, well, rerunner with this, I'm really glad I did. So hopefully everyone else out there, if like they were kind of like, I don't know if I should finally get into it, now's a good time, and I recommend it.
Very cool. The biggest problem I think people are going to have is going to be finding it. I've noticed this has not shown up under the new releases section on the Xbox store. You can search for it and find it and buy it that way, but it doesn't show up under new releases, and I don't know if there's some kind of
something coming.
Hmm?
Maybe like something's coming. Like, I don't know. Like, they're going to make a big official announcement or something.
No, I think it might just be like a behind the scenes glitch that kept it from.
They're going to show it off at the Xbox showcase tomorrow.
That would kind of be a letdown.
Hey guys,
world premiere.
World premiere. It's been out for a week.
Well, it's $20. What is your official verdict on BitTrip Rerunner?
That's solid. To be honest, I thought it was honestly going to retail probably closer to like $30. Because that's what a lot of these kind of games do come in at, like these remasters or remakes, that kind of stuff. So usually like a $25-$30 price tag. So $20, I'm totally game for. That's great. So yeah, don't be a cheap ass. Just pick it up.
Cool. If you could find it. Next game is Pool Party, developed by Lakeview Games, published by Mindscape, released May 31st on Xbox One and Series X and S for $19.99. Gather your friends and battle it out in chaotic physics-based party games and Pool Party. Grab a cue and join the party. Jacob, what is Pool Party?
So Pool Party has you playing as one of four pool balls, pool is in like billiards, and like you could design, you're stuck with four different colors, but like you're able to like edit certain things about like how they look, and keep in mind that this is a local multiplayer game, and so you're going to be playing against other people on your couch. Or you can select bots if you want to. Now, there will be certain games where you are paired up with somebody else. And it has standard, like, party multiplayer games. It's not like King of Hill, but, like, you're supposed to, like, hold the item the longest. There is a soccer game. There is a tennis game. There is a pool game. Like, you could actually play billiards. There's a sumo game where you have to knock everyone out, and you can either roll towards your enemies or you can kick them. And by holding the respective button, you can charge it. And like, it's fine. It's not anything we haven't seen before. And frankly, I thought this game might cause like some fist fights between my kids because of like how crazy the trailer looked. But they were just kind of like, oh, we've already played this because that Rabbids. I forget what the heck it's called. They still haven't installed on our Xbox, even though like we beat it as soon as it came out. The Rabbid. Remember that Chinese Rabbids game? Like at first, not it was really exclusive. No. Like it was at first, it was exclusive to China, and then Ubisoft released it everywhere. But it's like a Rabbids game, and there's just like a ton of like party mini games in it. And the thing is like my kids were like, "Oh, we can play a lot of these games." Yes, thank you, Party of Legends. a bunch of those game like similar game modes are already in it, and they're like, that game played better and that was more fun. Like they had more of an ability to like change how their character looked and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's not bad. It's just, it's there. And also like
achievements.
Don't know that none of them have popped for me. I was actually about to discuss that like with my problems with it. The tutorial achievement has never popped for me. Even though we've gone through it multiple times and before tonight's recording, I actually like went through it again and I still can't get the tutorial achievement to pop. So I don't know if it's just, it's a glitch on their end. If I'm playing the tutorial wrong somehow, which
weird,
honest, like, yeah. I mean, like I know that there's some time that's happened before. I remember there was one time Carnage actually had to walk me through some game. I don't even remember what the heck it was, but it was like you had to do a specific thing in the tutorial, otherwise it wouldn't unlock period dot, even if you had completed it. But yeah, it's okay, but there's better titles out there.
And I guess the lack of online doesn't help.
I'm not going to lie, as much as I complain about like, you know, multiplayer, like couch co-op multiplayer games, not having them, I'm used to this type of like party multiplayer games not having like an online mode because I play them so often with my kids. Like
that's fair.
I just kind of assume it's not going to. I mean, yeah, it might help, but at the same time, I'm just like, yeah.
Well, it clocks in at $20. Should people join the on this one?
I'd wait for a sale. Like, it's not a bad game. Like, it's not something I'll never buy this. Like, I'm not going to be like that. But there's better games that do the same exact stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that cost the same, if not slightly more. But yeah, if it's on sale, maybe go for it. But I've wanted to like this. It's frustrating.
No. You know? Oh, well, you got one last game to talk about on this episode. That is called Grappin, developed and published by Polylabo, released June 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S in the Windows Store for $12.99. Experience the thrill of adventure and put to the test your climbing and platforming skills in Grappin, the first-person adventure game that takes you to new heights. Jacob, what is Grappin?
So, Grappin is a first-person, it's an adventure game, but it's really just, like, it's more of an exploration game because you have to pick up these different, like, golden idols to open up gates so you can pass through and go to the next area. And there's so many spread out per area, and you have this grappling hook thing, hence Grappin, that can stick to certain objects, and as you go through it, like, you're given, I don't know if I'd call it powers, but or like it's really just a stronger grappling hook. Like, that's really all that there is to it. Like, and it can go for better distances and grab onto different stuff. But it's really just an exploration game that's tried to pass off as kind of like a Mirror's Edge adventure, even though it's more of the exploration side of that, because there's no violence in this. If you die because if you fell in a certain area, the game just restarts you from like the closest, you know, I wouldn't say save spot, but closest area that they could dump you without you dying immediately again. And so the game has vague hints as to like where all these items are. And as I said, some of them are required for you to advance to the next area. The rest of them are just bonuses that you're collecting for achievements. And it really just boils down to, can you handle first person games, that require you to be a little quick on your feet? And, do you like exploration, like a lot of exploration and vague hints? Because that's really all you're doing in this game. And it's not bad. But I think it requires a certain subset of or like a certain kind of gamer that's going to appreciate this kind of game. The grappling hook mechanic is frustrating frequently, even when you turn off auto aim, which the game recommends that you have it on, but I found it to be very frustrating, and it never wanted to aim me where I was trying to go. And even taking it off, it's still pretty shaky. And like, I tried messing with sensitivity and it never really seemed to help. And so it's a lot of patience with this game. As I said, like, it's not bad. It's just, I don't think it's going to be for everyone, but I was having a decent time with it. On one hand, I can say it's relaxing because it's peaceful and they're like, there's nobody to fight and you're really just trying to figure out where stuff is. But at the same time, you're trying to fucking figure out where stuff is. And it gets really frustrating, especially like when you're trying to pick up these golden idols and you have to do something like jump very specifically in between a couple of pine trees or figure out where like some sort of like underground lake is. And it's just, there are times.
Well, this one clocks in at $12.99. What are your thoughts on Grappin?
Honestly, at $12.99, I'd be pretty pleased with that price point. I can recommend it for that price. Cool. As I said, like, it's a good game. It's just, I don't think it's going to be for everybody. It requires, like, I mean, you have to be okay with first-person shooters. or first person style camera, and you just have to have a shit ton of patience.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for you, and that is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Thanks to you for coming on, doing your thing, even though you weren't here the rest of the episode. Thanks to Brie and Aki for holding down the rest of the show for our special ladies' night episode. You should have been there.
Ladies' night, and the feeling's right. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a night.
You're having fun singing that, aren't you?
I am. Yo, it's a solid song. Like, I mean, I can't help it.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You should find a cover of it so you could just play it on the show.
Now, the music this episode is going to be some Shante to keep the ladies'
night. Ooh, ladies' going. Night. There yeah. you go.
Our good friend Chris Huber with some guitar work by our other good friend Stemmage. So it's a good song. My wife is snoring so loud right now. I can't, like, I hope the microphone. Her. Oh, that's disappointing. That is so disappointing. I wish the microphone were picking it up. Oh my. Do you have any final words to end the episode?
Oh, this is ladies' night, and the feeling's right. Oh, what a night.